share the teaching responsibilities. And we rotate. Did I do something? Whoops. Okay. We rotate between studying a book of the Bible. Sometimes we study a different aspect of spiritual growth, and sometimes we also study a book related to marriage and family. I still teach several weeks out of the year, but I do serve as a discussion table leader and mostly work with the leadership team and with the newer teachers who are preparing. And in this time of transition, God has given me a special burden for the ministry of small group and personal discipleship. Some of these women are brand new believers, and they need guidance in their very first steps on spiritual journey. But some of them have been believers for several years, and yet they've never been discipled, or perhaps they've come from a church where there was very little Bible teaching. Maribel accepted the Lord as a child, and as a teenager, she was active in a youth group that encouraged her to read the Bible and to serve the Lord. She married a believer, but they moved to another part of the city. And the busyness of life, caring for her home and family, being involved in the school her children were attending, as well as working in her family business, gradually took over her days. Although they often attended a church on Sunday, the daily Bible reading and prayer were kind of replaced by helping with homework and watching TV with her husband in the evening. God used the death of her father to give her the desire to once again have a close walk with God. And she was able to arrange her work schedule so she could come to the ladies' Bible study. She also went through the basic discipleship course that we have there at church. And when we studied about service, she expressed a real desire to serve the Lord and said that she would like to disciple another woman. And so we began to pray about that. Who would God bring into her life that she would be able to disciple? So when we started our ladies' Bible study again in March, she talked with the women in her table group and was hoping that one of them would accept this invitation. And to her surprise, five of them responded. So she was a bit overwhelmed. But during the course of the study, one of them realized that she was not even saved, and Mighty Beth had the privilege of leading her to the Lord. Last year, she did an individual class with a woman who has very little education, who really struggled to be able to read and to write, but they stuck with it. It took a little longer than most, but when she finished, several of the ladies there in the Bible study took them out to dinner to celebrate and be thankful for what God was doing in her life. This year, she has, for the first time, has taught the ladies' Bible study. She did it for 2 weeks, and that was a new and challenging experience, especially the second week she forgot her notes at home. But she had prepared so well that nobody even knew. We had a prayer time about it first, but she was really, what am I going to do? And I don't think anybody else even knew that she had forgotten her notes. She did a great job. And then she has also been asked to be a part of a leadership team that coordinates the ladies' Bible studies for this year. So be praying for Mighty Bell and for her family that God would continue to use her in a great way. Sometimes I feel like a proud mama who watches her children try new things. There are days when I cry with them over their failures, their bumps, and their bruises, and days when we get on our knees together and ask God for guidance. But many days when we can rejoice together as they experience God's grace and enabling when they step out on a new adventure. Mighty Bella, the week before I left Peru, she started teaching a children's Sunday school class, and she's asking God to help her to be able to set the time aside that she needs to study and prepare so that she can share her excitement about God with kids that are the age that she was when she first heard the gospel story. The other emphasis in my ministry there at the church this past year has been in training in evangelism and discipleship. A group of the women from the ladies' Bible study stayed for an additional hour after our regular study to learn to use the story of hope, which is a chronological Bible study. It takes 20 events from the Old Testament and 20 from the New Testament. It gives kind of a panoramic view of the Bible and puts that all together to understand God's big redemptive story. One of the women who stayed was Miriam. As a child, she heard a little of the gospel in a mountain village, and as an adult in Lima in the midst of a family crisis, she looked for an evangelical church and made a profession of faith. but she received very little teaching and had almost no knowledge of the Bible. And then a few years later, she began attending our church and then the Ladies' Bible Study. So she went through the basic discipleship course as well with Elsa, and this past year she decided that she wanted to learn more about how to share her faith with others. So she enrolled in the Story of Hope class, and then when we finished that study, we also went on to the Way of Joy, which is another discipleship resource. And in September, in that study, when we had discussed the meaning of baptism, its significance, and it's being a step of obedience, she and her two teenage children took that step of obedience. Medium also helps with a feeding program for poor children in an area police station. And so she purchased, you can get a large set of the visuals that come in the Story of Hope, and she got those and began telling a story each week to the children in that feeding program. And one of the policemen there is a believer, and he asked her if she wouldn't be able to have a class for the mothers of these children. So now Medium, along with two other ladies from the study, Margarita and Judith, go every week and teach a class to these mothers. And for many of them, it's the very first time that they have ever heard the gospel. Like Medium, we need to find ways to reach out into our communities with the gospel. And there are many men and women, especially in a Roman Catholic country like Peru, who will probably never enter an evangelical church. The New Life Prenatal Center was born out of a desire not only to save babies from abortion, but also to build bridges into the lives of women who do not know Christ as their Savior. So women facing a crisis pregnancy or difficult family situation can come there to the center for counseling, for medical assistance, and for Bible-based classes on several subjects related to the home and to the family. Our goal is not only that a woman may come to know Christ and decide to keep her baby, but also that she will become an active part of a Bible-believing church and grow to the point that she can use her experiences to help others. So we're going to listen to Marlene tell about the difference that the center has made in her life.
Recibiendo la
vida secreta. It's Spanish, but you can read them.
Él es usado de nosotras sexualmente. Todos pensamos que el dolor de vivir en un hogar como este iba a desaparecer cuando estuviéramos fuera. Pero no fue así. Todavía sentía el vacío en mi corazón por la falta de amor de mi padre. Me enamoré de un hombre y salí embarazada. Yo realmente quería formar un hogar con él, pero él no quería. Así que fui tan egoísta y acepté practicarme un aborto a su propuesta. Y recuerdo realmente que me hicieron una ecografía y yo tenía 7 semanas de embarazo. Y los latidos del bebé eran tan fuertes, tan intensos, que están grabados aquí en mi corazón y en mi mente. Y el bebé era como si dijera, mamá, no me tan mal. Recuerdo que el médico dijo, no te preocupes, eso es un asunto sencillo, no te va a afectar. Yo era profesora de religión católica. Hablaba de Dios a mis alumnos, pero yo no conocía de eso. Realmente estaba desesperada y angustiada. Alguien me invitó a una reunión y esa noche el pastor predicó sobre el pecado. Y él dijo claramente, el pecado es cerrar al blanco. Y eso se quedó grabado en mi corazón. Pero yo no era capaz de decir en voz alta que yo había abortado. Yo fui a mi casa y yo dije, Señor, perdóname por haber matado a mi propia hija. Y por primera vez pude decir la palabra aborto. Y esa noche yo comprendí que yo era pecadora, que yo era asesina, que yo era mala, que realmente yo necesitaba con desesperación que él me pasara Yo he anhelado tanto tener un padre y él representa eso para mí ahora. Mi padre, mi amado, mi todo, mi vida, todo. Alguien en mi iglesia me dijo, tienes que ir a tal lugar. Yo llegué al centro de la paz, observaba tanta paz. Y yo decía, yo quiero esa paz. Así que empecé con Cecilia, estudiando uno de los cursos, me di cuenta que yo no había superado. Yo pensé que Dios me había perdonado y que ya estaba todo solucionado. Pienso que cada mujer debe tener el derecho de tener toda la información completa antes de tomar la decisión de abortar. Una mujer que quiera ser restaurada necesita primero reconocer su condición. Tengo que reconocer quién soy ante Dios para recibir el perdón de Dios. Entonces, si hay esperanza, por eso me encanta servir en el templo de la vida. Y pienso en que el dolor de no tener hijos ahora, el sufrimiento que me causa, es una fuente de motivación para ayudar a otras mujeres, para enseñarles, para entrenarles. Mi mamá conoció al Señor, mi hermana me dio también. Aún Dios me dio la oportunidad de cuidar a mi padre el último mes de su vida. Entonces me doy cuenta que Dios ha preparado todo para bien a lo largo de estos años y me ha confrontado con lo que yo necesitaba perdonar y restaurar. Así convencida que Dios me ha llamado a mi ser y vida. El reto más grande es cómo entrenamos a consejeros que tengan una filosofía bíblica. Mi esperanza es que ellos puedan vivir una vida de pasión hacia Cristo.
Last year, I had the privilege of serving as co-director of the center, working alongside Marlene as she served the Lord by ministering to women who've experienced trauma and who are going through a time of crisis in their lives. My main area in the ministry there at the center has been training volunteers in evangelism and discipleship. And although Vanessa had taken several courses at our seminary, she was training at a volunteer in the center and was also able to go through the Story of Hope evangelism class there. Although that material is designed for one-on-one evangelistic Bible studies, it can be used as well with small groups. One student commented that although she was familiar with most of the Bible stories, before it had been like trying to put a puzzle together without having the picture on the lid of the box. And after the course, it was much easier to see how all those pieces fit together. The Story of Hope finishes with the Corona Bridge to Life, a summary of 8 essential areas of truth that we've learned from the Bible. And really, to understand and accept these truths by faith is likened to crossing a bridge between spiritual death and eternal life. In the training program for the discipleship material, Way to Joy, we not only encourage each volunteer to read her Bible and to pray, but we practice telling the story of our own faith journey in an understandable way. We memorize verses related to each topic and share what God is doing in our daily walk. We pray for each other, and especially that God will lead each of us to a specific woman whom we can encourage on her spiritual journey. I was also able to adapt the Christian Home course I teach at seminary and offer that as a class not only for volunteers, but for clients and anyone from local churches who was interested. Teaching at the seminary is my third opportunity of training leaders, and students there can work toward a 1-year discipleship certificate or a 3-year diploma in pastoral studies, biblical counseling, Christian education, or biblical studies. They can add 2 more years to receive a bachelor's degree, and we're trying now to take advantage of modern technology, moving into internet online courses. We began the master's program in expository preaching and biblical counseling online, and are gradually adding online courses to the undergrad level as well. Ruben recently graduated with his master's degree in expository preaching, and he's teaching at our seminary and working with other teachers. He's trained in technology. He's working with other teachers to adapt their courses so that they can also be online. That's one of the things that I'll probably be doing as I return, is moving into that. And Ruben and his wife Yuli were also recently commissioned by their church to begin another work there in a different part of the city of Lima. When Lucho and Rosa graduated from seminary, he served as the assistant pastor there in Chacarilla, where we had been for several years before moving on to start a daughter work in another part of the city called Chorrillos. They've had an especially significant ministry of working with hurting couples whose marriages were broken. Sometimes they were either divorced or on the verge of divorce. And they feel that the courses that they have taken towards their master's degrees have been helpful in this ministry as well. 9 years later, their tiny storefront building is just bursting at the seams. They have 2 services on a Sunday morning, are probably moving to 3 soon, but they really need a bigger piece of land to be able to effectively minister to their growing young middle-class community. So pray for that, for the Lord's provision. Many of our graduates are serving the Lord as missionaries in other parts of Peru. Vicky works in a little mountain village called Chinchillo, a little village high in the Andes Mountains. Robert and Sarela and their family work in children's ministries in a jungle city of Tarapoto. They do evangelistic events in parks. They partner with churches for special events. And mostly they train others in the local churches to evangelize and to disciple children within their local church. We also have missionaries in many other countries, including Bangladesh, Mozambique, and Turkey. I mentioned Vanessa when I mentioned the prenatal center ministry. She was also a student in several of my courses. This is the Women's Ministries course and Christian Home. And in the following video, her husband Darwin is going to share some of what God has done in their lives and how he has used the seminary to help to prepare them for ministry.
Me sentía limitado. Recuerdo un joven que estaba pasando momentos difíciles en su vida, problemas emocionales, familiares, y estaba separado de su familia. Entonces, recuerdo una noche, era como 1 de la mañana, me llamó y necesitaba él de que alguien lo ayudara. Yo recién era un nuevo convertido y me dolió mucho no poder ayudarle y eso me motivaba para estudiar más la Biblia. Hablé con el pastor y el pastor me sugirió que me preparara en un seminario. La poca preparación académica que tenía, que era algo que me limitaba al principio, y conforme fui leyendo la palabra de Dios, vi que Jesucristo llamó no solo a hombres preparados, sino que Él preparó a los hombres que llamó. Tengo una personalidad un poco introvertida y era muy difícil para mí estar al frente y enseñar. Jamás lo había hecho antes. Era Dios quien me dio la oportunidad y podía escuchar de los hermanos que lo había hecho muy bien y decía para la gloria de Dios.
Tenemos un curso que se llama Ministerio de la Mujer y ahí nos enseñan a poder trabajar con otras damas, jóvenes, menores y también de la edad de adulta. Cuando yo pienso en cómo voy a poder ayudar a mi esposo cuando estemos en el campo misionero.
Tenemos muchos casos de madres solteras que tienen hijos adolescentes con una serie de problemas. Y el habernos preparado en el seminario fue de mucha ayuda, no solamente para la edificación de nuestra vida, sino para poder servir mejor a los hijos de estas madres solteras. Dios no llama a hombres preparados necesariamente. Él prepara a los que llaman. Y si tú piensas que tienes alguna limitación por cuestión económica o por cuestiones intelectuales o por la edad, yo te recomiendo que no seas tu barrera. A que usted pueda participar y empiece a prepararse ya en el seminario teológico bautista. Y para todas las iglesias, yo les animo a que puedan desde ahora comenzar participando con sus oraciones. Y si tienen deseo de poder participar con sus ofrendas, eso beneficiará para que se siga expandiendo las enseñanzas y más iglesias tengan hombres y mujeres capacitadas para que la predicación de la palabra de Dios siga expandiéndose hasta lo último de la tierra, para la gloria y honra de nuestro Dios.
Darwin graduated from seminary in December. And he and Vanessa would like to serve God as missionaries to an unreached people group, possibly in northern Africa. So they're asking God to show them the next steps that they should take on this journey. So won't you please pray for them, asking God for direction and for provision as they follow his leading. The question I'd like to leave with you this morning is, what does your spiritual journey look like? Can you say like Paul, be followers of me as I am of Christ? That verse really challenges me to take the time to stop and evaluate my own journey with God. And for each of you to think, are you at a place in your spiritual journey where God can use you as a companion, as a mentor, as a guide for someone else on their journey? Are you listening to his voice, and are you following where he leads? Sometimes the path seems challenging, but the rewards are great. So ask God to lead you and to take some important steps on your journey today.